Assalamu alaikum. So we're with Robert Davila. How are you, brother? You're on the Dean Show. Did you ever hear of the Dean Show?
Yeah, I
Have
used to
you?
watch it a lot.
Yeah?
I do watch it a lot.
Mashallah. So we were talking about your amazing story. You had so much of people that were really amazed by some of the things that you went through, and then through all of that, you ended up not some years ago accepting Islam. You got in an accident where you got paralyzed from your neck down, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And then you were sharing with me a little while ago how your mother was Unitarian Christian, and to kind of fill us in on what we were talking about.
When I was in the hospital, I remember praying, and I would pray directly to the
You would pray directly to God, to the Creator, God Almighty,
Yes.
without anybody in the middle.
No intercession.
No intercessor in the middle, just directly to God, the Creator.
Yes. And that's what my mom also does not believe in. Okay. I would say my mom is a Unitarian, but she refuses to accept Islam.
She's a Unitarian
Yes.
Christian.
Yeah, I think so.
So this was back in early 2011, you accepted Islam.
Yeah, it was around October-ish.
So you came from a staunch Christian, Unitarian Christian background.
Yeah, we were okay. When I was a kid, I did my own thing, and I remember my friends took me to oh gosh, what do they call that? It's kind of like youth group.
A youth group, yes.
Yeah. And as a kid, I thought it was just so dumb, and I didn't get it. And so I quit really going there. I only went once or twice, and the guy just wanted to hang out. He didn't teach anything. It kind of sucked, really, in the language.
You're talking
And
about this. There was a that was the Christian youth group you're talking about.
yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy there was more interested in being friends with us than he was teaching us about faith or anything.
About basic things.
Yeah, so I got mad, and for the longest I wanted for the longest time I said I was atheist.
You said you were atheist for a long time, for the longest time. Yeah.
Yes, and all through high school and whatnot, and it wasn't until I got paralyzed that I started praying and whatnot.
So did you feel that did you become, or you called yourself an atheist because you didn't have the answers that you were looking for?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
What were some of the questions that you had?
Like, the meaning of life,
The
where did we
meaning.
come from? Why are we here? And every time I sit up with someone and ask, no one took me serious.
I mean, those are serious questions that many people are not reflecting upon. Meaning of life. What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? I mean, those are just intelligent questions. You were far more intelligent than many of the people out there because you were asking the right questions.
Thank you. Yeah, and I used to be scared to die and whatnot, but no longer am I scared because I know my way and whatnot.
Tell us about this. There was a friend of yours who had this amulet that he passed away before you, and then someone brought his amulet crucifix to you.
Yeah, his sister did. Actually, he had a crucifix on the wall, and he would always have a, okay, a pastor would always come talk to him, but they would never speak to me, and I never understood why. And he had liver cancer or cirrhosis, which is pretty much liver cancer, and on the day of his surgery, he got a donor, and on the day of surgery, he died unstable. And his sister gave me that to remember him. And for the longest time, I never knew what it was about it. And okay, I had the crucifix on the wall, and one day, in a dream, Muhammad came to me and said, "This is just a man. Take this down, and if he was God, he wouldn't eat or go to the bathroom as you do, and whatnot." And from there, I woke up. And I immediately accepted Islam.
Wow. So that was, you're saying that Prophet Muhammad came to you in a dream. You had this crucifixion there, and something along the lines of that God didn't send. Say that again. How was it that Jesus wasn't God? That God didn't send messengers to be worshipped or to only worship God, the Creator. How something like that.
Yeah, it was exactly like that.
I mean, that's
And
amazing. That's go ahead.
I wish my speech was never affected, so I could talk to you better.
You
But
also just had a stroke, right?
I think I did in my sleep because some months ago I could speak clearly, but now my speech is like so inhibited. It's infuriating.
Let's continue where you were talking about the dream. So you had a dream. All this was leading up. You had some friends who were Muslim at that time, and they were kind of answering your questions. You had your friend that died. You had yourself looking for answers in life, and then the dream happens.
Yes.
So how did you take that after the dream? After you did that, how did you you came to know that this was, did anyone tell you that this was Prophet Muhammad in your dream?
No, it was
No.
like I did a lot of contemplating, and I spoke to brothers from Egypt and a brother from England for a while, and for the longest time, I never even said anything.
You never said anything for the longest time.
Yes.
How did they determine, or how did you determine and find out that this was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in your dream?
What I was told.
That's what you were told after you gave him the description to people more knowledgeable.
Oh no, I knew in my heart that it was him in the dream, but I didn't know. I just thought it was a dream until I spoke to other Muslims.
Oh, after you spoke to other Muslims and they said this was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon
Yeah.
him. Yes. And pretty much in the dream, summarizing, he was telling you not to worship that crucifixion or not to worship Jesus, but just to worship the God of Jesus, to worship the one God.
Yes.
This was the main message of that dream.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense because that's that pure monotheism that came throughout history, throughout time. that God Almighty, out of his love, he sent messengers. He sent these prophets to call people to worship one and only one God and to do good deeds, to be morally upright. This is that same message that's been there since the beginning. And did that make sense to you?
It was, yes, it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So, because, there was a questionnaire on my, that I found online, and all of the answers I answered were, it said, if you answer these questions with these answers, you are a Muslim and you should accept Islam. And that was in early 2011. And for the longest, I was contemplating. And then finally, after the dream, I accepted Islam. And then I spoke with my friends, and they told me, go ahead.
To go ahead and to take the Shahada?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was in 2011. Now we're in 2020, going on 21, and you're still a Muslim. You're still in Islam.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. MashaAllah. And I'm very delighted and happy to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So you've actually memorized a lot of Quran also, I heard.
Yeah, I tried to.
MashaAllah. This is great. How do you, for people who are out there, you know, taking life for granted, people who are out there ungrateful for many of the simple things in life, that now taking things for granted, not being grateful for many of the gifts, what message do you have for them?
And no matter what, don't give up and always rely on God. Mm-hmm.
Always rely on God.
Yes, because even you may be stripped of everything, but there's always something worse.
There, you may be stripped of something, but there's always something worse.
Yes.
Yeah. That reminds me of the hadith where the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that always look to those who have less.
And that's what I do.
Yeah. Because now you actually, in a sense, someone can have all the money and all of the material things, but at the end their heart is not in a state like where your heart's at, where you finally found the purpose of life, why you've been created. Now at the end, a person dies in that state, you know, without the guidance of their creator, and all they did was worship money and power and fame. That's a worse place to be in life.
It is. And I felt it because in the place I was before I was here, there was two guys that were my age that were much worse than me.
They
were much worse off than I had it.
All guys that were there at the nursing home.
Yes.
They were worse than you.
Yes, they were.
Yeah?
And they were both named Malcolm.
Uh-huh.
And they were worse than me. And it gave me hope. But really, all I would do was spend days praying.
Mm-hmm. You would spend days praying?
Mm-hmm.
Still keeping your salat, huh?
Yep.
MashaAllah.
And I tried to fasting before, but I couldn't because I had to take pills and had to have water, so I couldn't really fast. But I still observed Ramadan.
You still observe Ramadan?
Yes.
MashaAllah. This is amazing. So you were also telling me about your family. Some of them, because they got caught up with much of the media hype and the misinformation, they didn't take so well to you accepting Islam because they were thinking that, oh, now lot of the negative things that are associated, terrorism and all this other nonsense that's associated with Islam. Have they kind of cooled off yet?
Well, yeah, but only because I told certain people, the people I was closest to, that I was no longer a Muslim. I had to,
Yeah.
or they would never see me again.
So that was your some of the family members there.
Yes.
Yeah. I see.
Mainly my father and my sister. Yeah.
So how's your relationship with them now?
Now it's very improved.
Very much better.
Yeah. But I haven't seen anyone for months because of the quarantine.
Oh, because of the quarantine?
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't let nobody come visit.
Nope.
Nope, nobody can come visit, huh?
Nope, not
No.
since March, the middle of March,
Yeah.
and it's supposed to last through July, because let me see, was it maybe on Friday we had to take the test for COVID,
Yeah.
but it didn't bother me because I've had a camera stuck in my nose before.
Yeah. I heard the story also that one day you were reciting some Quran, and then someone who was passing by your room heard you, and they were very shocked and surprised, and then a conversation began. That was with a Muslim. Can you tell us about that? Do you recollect that?
I barely remember, but I do remember. Because it was long ago, and the guy was from Africa.
He was from where?
Africa?
Africa. So you're there. That was the last place he expected to, and the last person he expected to find reciting Quran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very surprised. I forget his name. I wish I remembered his name.
Yeah. Amazing.
Because there's so much of my story that, Numan Ali Khan got wrong, and I wanted to straighten it out, but I couldn't.
Yeah. So now's your chance. Go ahead. Tell me anything that you want to share with us. You can go ahead. Anything that you felt was very important.
Well, okay. I'm not a farmer, nor did I have a genetic disease.
Okay, so you weren't a farmer or didn't have a genetic disease.
No, and I don't, I would have to watch his video again to be sure.
You what?
I would have to watch his video again to be sure what he said.
Yeah. So, but the correct thing was that you actually had you had an accident.
Yes.
It was a car accident,
Yes.
and then you broke your neck.
Well, okay. I had a C1 fracture
What?
where my cranium
Yeah.
detached from my spine,
Yes.
and it was the putting it back together that paralyzed me.
Putting it back together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I had to wear a halo for let me see, 3 or 4 months. And it was, man, it was crazy. I remember, all I can remember was for 2 straight weeks, I was crying and whatnot. And finally, I was one day praying and crying, and I figured, I'm not gonna get any better, and people are just gonna dislike me even more if I'm bitter. So don't be bitter.
Don't be
And
bitter.
so from that day, I've not been. And there's so many people that are pretty too. There are. And I tried to tell them differently, but nobody wants to listen to me.
Yeah. Look to those who have less. I mean, don't be bitter. You talked about that. That's the advice. What other advice before we close would you like to give to the world? From all your experience now and...
Nothing I can think of right now. Just that, you know, make the most of what you can. And always remember that no matter what, you're just a human and you are going to die. So live your life and let me see. Treat others the way you would want to be treated yourself.
So be kind to others.
Yes.
Be a good human being.
Yes, sir.
And never lose hope in God Almighty, the Creator.
Never.
Yes.
Never.
Yeah. You know, there's a beautiful statement from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, that once a person is dipped in paradise just for a second, then they'll ask, have you seen any hardships in this life? I'm sure you've heard, have you heard of this hadith?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so Islam gives so much optimism and hope because this life is short, it's transitory, and there's something better waiting for us. And when finally you're exposed to that, then all of the things of joy and happiness and everything will just overtake a person, and he'll forget about, or she'll forget about all of the drama, pain, and all of the hardships that they went through in this life. And may God Almighty Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, reunite us in Jannah, in paradise. And ease your...
Alhamdulillah.
And if I'm ever... You're in Texas.
Yes, sir.
If I'm ever in Texas, inshallah, we can meet in person sometime.
Okay.
Yes.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing that with us. May Allah bless you and reward you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. This is the Deen Show.